The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, folks. It's good to practice with you. I'll be away again next week, back 29th. And December 6th in Berkeley, there's an IMC, IRC day long. It's on the insightretreatcenter.org webpage. A day on Kalyanamitta, spiritual friendship, mostly just enjoying each other. So, warm welcome to you in the Bay Area. So I was speaking with a couple very, politically active Dharma colleagues, and we're reflecting on this moment and trying to feel into where the Dharma is most useful. And I confessed to them that in this socio-political milieu, this time, I feel some measure of confusion, some measure of cowardice. And I'm not quite sure what my role is and where I can be effective, where I can be efficient. And I'm willing to suffer a lot if my suffering is efficient, but I don't want to waste suffering that goes nowhere. And I don't know how much courage I have. We know the Dharma can be very useful to serious practitioners, and the question, what public value does it have? What is the scope of practice of the Dharma? In what ways does or does not does the Dharma scale or not? Is it merely greed, hate, and delusion that effectively scales? We see technologies, maybe not totally fair, but it's primarily function to scale greed, hate, and delusion. And I myself have never been optimistic about some broad, deep dissemination of the Dharma. Our species is just seems largely designed to suffer, cause suffering. And evolution has done some very beautiful things, but also some truly terrible things to our species. And if that sounds cynical, I'm sorry. So I tried to reflect, if the Dharma were to launch a kind of PR campaign, try to scale some teaching, what teaching would be featured? If there were one teaching that could be broadcasted and celebrated, what would it be? I ruled out a bunch. I don't think it's non-clinging. I don't think it's renunciation. Don't even think it's compassion. I don't think it's the fabricated nature of all view and the epistemic humility that engenders. I don't think it's that. I tried to consider, how can we set the bar reasonably enough, but still be impactful? And it's got to be a teaching that has it's precedented in other faith traditions, can't be esoteric and niche. And in reflecting on it, the kind of PR campaign that I would propose would be something around non-hatred, a kind of public service announcement campaign centered around non-hatred, not even love, non-hatred. There's so much hatred. It spills out of our computers and phones and roads and on the battlefields and out of our leaders, spills from our own minds. But only those who are very free are free from hatred, aversion. It makes conversation impossible. Flattens all possibilities for empathic connection. Hatred essentializes the other. There's no understand in the mind full of hate. There's no understanding whatsoever of paticca samuppada, dependent arising, conditionality, anatta. And our hate can only be sustained by erasing many, many details of the other person's inner life. It destroys us. That's simple. Baldwin said that. Destroys us. That's the law, he said, ancient and immutable. And we can verify this ourselves. Hate is a kind of neurotoxin we ingest and then savor it, the honeyed tip and poison root, as the Buddha says, is no good for our body. So the Journal Circulation, which is a publication, American Heart Association, is their consensus scientific statement. Instances of anger and hostility can precipitate undesirable sympathetic response. Angry rumination is associated with increases in cardiovascular reactivity. It's measured by heart rate, diastolic and systolic blood pressure. Anger may also acutely increase the risk of adverse cardiovascular events, including heart attack, acute coronary syndrome, stroke, ventricular arrhythmia in the 2 hours after an outburst of anger. Diseases our minds, our bodies, destroys families and organizations and societies. And sometimes maybe it feels like the only option, no options, so we justify it, but it's never truly the only option. Anything hatred can do can be done better by something else. And we don't have to relinquish our ethical commitments in order to release hatred. Feels like they're bound up, but it's not. Non-hatred is not love. It's different than love. Love maybe is too much to demand that we summon a feeling of warmth. But non-hatred, that's plenty. As I understand it, the famous line, the Pali is hatred does not cease through hatred, but through, sometimes it's rendered as love, but apparently it's non-hatred. Hatred does not cease through hatred, but non-hatred, but through non-hatred. And that's enough. Non-hatred is enough. One of the appealing qualities about non-hatred, public sphere is that the juxtaposition of hate with non-hate is very stark. You know, when we're dwelling in hate, it's hard to tell just how horrific a mind state it is. But when contrasted with any softening, it's so clear. And a campaign, you know, simply advocating non-hatred doesn't have to take complex policy positions. It's not a utopian vision. Simply highlights the corrosiveness of hate. So, any PR campaign needs ambassadors, right? So, who should spread the good word? Well, phase two, Michelle Obama. Steph Curry. That's what I have in mind. Phase one, for better or worse. It's us. You, me. When the Buddha said, guard your senses, he's not joking. Sounds restrictive. Guard your senses. It's another way of saying, we're vulnerable. We need to protect our love. And so study your intention, the movements of your mind. Cultivation of hatred, non-hatred, study that and vow to express your care in as many interactions as you can. This is our quiet evangelism. Sangha member happened to send me this poem this morning. Couldn't pick out something more relevant. It's William Stafford, ritual to read to each other. If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world, and following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. For there is many a small betrayal in the mind, a shrug that lets the fragile sequence break, sending with shouts the horrible errors of childhood. Storming out to play through the broken dike. And as elephants parade holding each elephant's tail, but if one wanders, the circus won't find the park. I call it cruel and maybe the root of all cruelty to know what occurs, but not recognize the fact. And so I appeal to a voice, to something shadowy, a remote, important region in all who talk. Though we could fool each other, we should consider, lest the parade of our mutual life get lost in the dark. For it is important that awake people be awake, or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep the signals we give, yes or no or maybe, should be clear. The darkness around us is deep. Offer this for your consideration.